want to add my welcome to you today. We're glad you're here. And doesn't the air conditioning feel good? It's nice. Consume the alternatives. I want to invite all of you to the beach baptism this afternoon. It's a great time. North end of Tybee. If you can see the lighthouse, you're near. Okay, it's a big parking lot. They have a little tariff you go through if you want to park there. You can get a little cheaper if you park outside. It's not quite as convenient. Hope you'll be there. And I'm glad to see that most of you observe the new rule today not to feed the bears in the back as you came in today. They're such a blessing to why don't y'all just turn around and look at them? Let's just look at them. I love you guys. Bless you today. If you have your Bible, if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to get the last three verses of 1 Peter, concluding our almost 7 months now through, 6.5 months through 1 Peter. I don't believe we've ever spent this much time on one book of the Bible. A few intermissions there, but we're concluding this today. We've gone verse by verse through it. And I ask you to stay tuned today because things are going to change fast here today. I want you to keep up with me. Glad to have several folks with us today. The Millers are with us today. Where are the Millers? They're around here somewhere. Glad to have you all today. Glad to have, don't clap for Billy. Clap for Sanja and for my, also glad to have Allison and Kathy with us today. Y'all try not to cut up too bad during the worship service today. Terry's got her folks here with us today who on their southern pilgrimage come from time to time. And we're glad all of you are here joining us today. Let's pray together. Lord, now as we come to your word, we ask you to open it to our hearts. May we hear from you today. Lord, you've already been speaking to us. I thank you for the sweet time of worship. Lord, as we've just invited your presence here today to speak to us, make yourself plain. I thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You've gone before us. You've prepared this time and this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, those last verses, verse 12, chapter 5 of 1 Peter, 12 to 14. Listen to these as I read today. And with the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I know some of you will have Silvanus there. They're one and the same person. Whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings. And so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Now I realize many of you here today that have not been on this entire pilgrimage with us as we've journeyed through 1 Peter. We're concluding this this letter, which is a general letter that had gone out, if you read in the first chapter, had gone out to these five different places, at least of those. It's one of these circular letters that would be sent out. Everything we have put under this title, Living Hope. A hope that is alive today. Now, hope is a word that's used a lot in our society. It's used in many, many different ways. But you know, most of the hope that the world promises us has a price tag that we can't pay and has a delivery problem that happens every single time, because the world can't deliver hope, can it? Mankind can't deliver hope. Not hope that will last, because if we could, I think many of us would deliver that hope, but we can't do it because we're not in charge of, we're not lord of the circumstances. We're not in control of circumstances. To properly deliver hope, which is looking to the future, you've got to be able to control circumstances. You've got to be over those circumstances. If you're really going to make a promise, a father comes to his family and says, "I'll always be with you." Wrong. Now, is it wrong for a father to say, "I intend to always be with you"? No, of course not. But to make the statement, "I will be with you, I'm going to be there by your side," he can't make that statement, can he? Can any of you make a statement today that you know what the next moment is going to be about? What's going to happen when you leave this place today? Of course you can't. You can't predict that. Who would have thought a year and a half ago that this country would be where it is financially and physically today? Who would have thought that? Could you have predicted it? Oh, now we've got all sorts of people who have joined the bandwagon. You see them all over the internet. "Well, I've been predicting this for so long." Hogwash. They're Johnny-come-latelys to the party who are trying to capitalize today on something that they couldn't see, that no one could see. No one could see the depth of this. No one could see what's going on in the world today. Could you have predicted what's going on in the world today? The alliances are taking place. How about 5 years ago? How about 3 years ago? 2 years ago? Of course you couldn't. Hope. Hope is something that only Jesus can bring. Only one who is over all. Now, several things I want you to look at in this passage with me. Several reasons we can have hope. First of all, we can have hope because of the message that is written here and the message of this entire letter. The message. And what is the message? Well, what does he say here? It kind of summarizes it. He says, "With the help of Silvanus, Silas," some of you in some of your translations, "whom I regard as a faithful brother, I've written to you encouraging you." Some of you have exhorting you, lifting you up, encouraging you. "And testifying, giving a witness." In fact, the word there is a word, there's the same word for the word martyr. I've witnessed with an intensity as to have laid down my life. That's what he's talking about, the intensity of this. "So I'm encouraging you," he says, "and I'm telling you the truth." Paul would say it this way in another passage in Ephesians 4:15. He would talk about, "And I speak the truth in love." I'm lifting you up. I'm encouraging you today. Now, here's the thing. We can have hope today because there is encouragement. My hope today is not in the banking system of the United States of America. My hope today is not in the Congress of the United States of America. My hope today is not in the government of the city of Savannah and state of Chatham. My hope today is in Jesus. He's the one I can depend on, because all of those entities have let me down in the past. And you know what? I've let them down. It's been a two-way street. So there's encouragement on the one hand, and he says we can have this hope in the message, because the message is a message of truth. It's a message that Peter was willing to lay his life down for. And we see all of the disciples, save only John and Judas. We heard about Judas earlier today. But of the 11 that were left, John was the only one who didn't die a martyr's death.
at the rest of them. Peter would die a martyr's death, speaking the truth of God. And do you know what? There are people right now in this country, in our government, who would like to shut me up. Do you believe that? Well, I don't just believe it. I know it to be true. When I speak about sin, when I speak about societal issues, when I think about the truth, when I speak about moral issues, they'd like to shut me up. And you up too? I'm going to put you down. See, we have hope. We have hope in a message. A message that's larger. It's a message of love. It's a message that Jesus always leads with His love. It's a message not of condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, "There's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." It's not a message of putting you down. Isn't it interesting that those who are not a part of the family of God, who are on the outside of God's family, always think of, well, if I come into God's family, it's a message of condemnation, and they feel that condemnation. Where's that coming from? I'm telling you, it's hot from hell. It's got Satan's fingerprints all over it. That's not the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus is one of reconciliation, of putting your life right. Okay, secondly, we have a living hope. We have hope because what we've seen in the lives of messengers, not just in the message, but the messenger. Three messengers are mentioned here. One is Silvanus, Silas. You think about Silas for just a moment. Look at all the places that he went. Who are the people he hung out with? I believe it's from chapter 15 in Acts up through chapter 18 in Acts. His name, or he is referred to 22 times. Here's a guy that hung out with Apostle Paul, went on several of Paul's missionary journeys with him. He was on the second missionary journey. There he was in the Philippian jail. Remember that? Remember that story? Paul and Silas there, Paul and Silvanus. And here's a guy who got to hang out with Peter also. And we believe he was a Hellenistic Jew. He was probably a Roman citizen. He was a man whom God had touched his life, and we look at him and we just say, thank you, Lord, that you can take somebody like that and use them in so many different places. Who would have thought it? Here's another person that's mentioned here is Peter himself. Simon Peter, the rock. Here's a guy in Matthew 16 that says, But who do you say that I am? Jesus spoke to him. He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. But here's the same guy who, when the servant girl comes up to him as he's sleeking around, he wasn't even at the cross. John's the only one that was there that we know of for sure. He's slinking around, you know, hiding around, and he's at the campfire later on that evening, and the servant girl points him out. And how many times does he deny Jesus? Three times. I mean, he's coming into the category of low down, good for nothing, right? But can you identify with him? I can. So here's a messenger that is greatly used of God. And here he is writing this letter. And this is on the tail end of things. This is years. We're probably in the 60s by now. Jesus, depending on when you put the his birth, anywhere from 4 to 6 BC. I know that sounds funny, but if you go back different calendars, go back, put it there. We're probably somewhere 27, 29, when Jesus is actually crucified and the resurrection takes place. We're 30-something years beyond that now. Peter's an old man. He's an old codger. And as he's writing these things, he is writing them as one who has been there, has the t-shirt. The guy who's done it. The guy who's been there. And we have hope from his life. Because he's coming down to the end of his life, not with less hope, not seeing things dim like Mahatma Gandhi at the end of his life. Not seeing the light getting dimmer, but the light's getting brighter. Why is it getting brighter? Because he's closer than ever before to his redemption. He's closer than ever before. Do you see this? We have hope because of a messenger like that. Here's a third one mentioned here. John Mark. Remember John Mark? Remember his story? Here's another guy. It's interesting that all three of these guys are guys that hung out with Paul at some point in time. And Paul hung out with them. John Mark goes on the missionary journey, remember, with cousin Barnabas? They go off, and what happens? Well, we can speculate a lot. Probably got homesick, young guy, makes those young guy mistakes, and all. Finally, he has to go home. He leaves them. You can think failure. Next missionary journey, that they're coming together, and Barnabas is going to get him to go, and Paul says no. Now later on, Paul would come around. It'd be a change in his life. But here's a guy who could have taken failure in his life, and it could have just thoroughly discouraged him. But instead, what do we see? Here's Mark, who is with Simon Peter. You know what? Now, this is just my belief. You know the Gospel of Mark, that Holy Spirit spoke through Mark. Do you know where I believe Mark got most of his details for his gospel, which was the original gospel written? It was the oldest one. You know where he got them? From Simon Peter. The time they spent together. So I want you to see today, these are real people who had real failures, who had real stuff going on, and the living hope of Jesus changed their lives. Did it make them at a point where they never made another mistake? No. They were real. Sometimes we look at people in the Bible and we say, oh man, I can never be like that. You're already like that. You're already like that. Okay. Third thing. We can have hope also because of what we've already seen God do in this environment. And in this passage, he's speaking from Babylon. Wait a second now. At this time in history, Babylon is just an obscure little town. What's he really talking about? He's using imagery here. He's in Rome. And Rome is the Babylon of its day. It is the seat of everything secular in the world. It is the place from which all of man's great ideas emanate of that day. Just like Babylon was in its day. And just like what is today? The United States of America. Now, why can I say that we have hope because of this? Here he is speaking out of the mouth of the lion itself. He's speaking from the place where there were more secular challenges. There was more competition going on there than any other place for the gospel. And what do we see the gospel doing there? Thriving. We see the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, is thriving. People are coming to Christ. Note, he also says here, and we take hope from this, he says, she who is at Babylon, that's one interpretation, one translation of that. literally, it is the co-chosen people. And the reason why I use she is because the word for church, which is ecclesia, is a feminine word, and you use she. But literally what it says, the co-chosen people that are in Babylon, that are in Rome. In other words, your brothers and sisters that are struggling with you at Rome, they identify with you. Together with you, send greetings. There they are. Realizing that you're not on this journey alone. What happens every time a Christian tries to live this life of Christ on this earth by himself? What happens? You get isolated, you get away, and the devil picks you off. That's why God has given to us this body of Jesus, where we are under the cover of God, connected with his body, as he says here, the co-chosen ones, the ones who are together that God has picked out with you together. And what happens? In all of this, the changed life is shown. What's the verification that Jesus is alive today, that he arose from the dead, is that the risen Christ is living his life through me and through you. The Bible that people read today, most people don't read this book out in the world. They're reading this book that should be an open page. Now this afternoon, we're going to be on the beach showing the changed life. Now, I have a clip I want you to look at. It's several minutes. I'm going to conclude today's message after you see this clip.
Well, it didn't look like a one-horse town. Try finding a decent hair jelly.
Go for Everett.
And no transmission belt for 2 weeks neither.
Huh? They damned that rib on the 21st. Today's the 17th.
Don't I know it?
We got but 4 days to get to that treasure. After that, it'll be at the bottom of a lake. We ain't gonna make it walking.
Well, that's right.
Go for Everett.
But the old tactician's got a plan. For the transportation, that is. I don't know how I'm gonna keep my coiffure in order.
How's this a plan? How are we gonna get a car?
Sell that. I figure you can only have painful association for Wash.
To Washington, Bartholomew, Hogwallop, from his loving Cora. And more the dip is.
This is in his bureau. I reckon it'll fetch us enough cash for a good used auto voucher and a little left over besides.
Whew. You got some light fingers, Everett. Gopher?
You stole from my kin!
Who was fixing to betray us.
You didn't know that at the time.
So I borrowed it till I did know.
That don't make no sense.
It's a fool who looks for logic in the chambers of the human heart. Now, what's that saying?
Appears to be some kind of a congregation. Care for some gopher?
No, thank you, Delmer. A third of a gopher would only arouse my appetite without bedding her back down.
Oh, you can have the whole thing. Me and Pete already had one. We ran across a whole gopher village.
Yeah.
guess hard times flush the chump. Everybody's looking for answers. So is he gone?
Delmar been saved.
Well, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. The preacher done washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's a straight and narrow from here on out. And heaven everlasting's my reward.
Delmar, what are you talking about? We got bigger fish to fry.
The preacher said all my sins is washed away, including that Piggly Wiggly I knocked over in Yazoo.
I thought you said you was innocent of those charges.
Well, I was lying. And the preacher said that that sin's been washed away, too. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. Come on in, boys. The water is fine.
Now, why'd I show you that? I know it aroused your appetite, talking about gopher. That clip, to me, shows the drawing power of baptism, of the picture. Now think about it. Here they are. They're thinking about what their next crime is going to be. And all these people, there's no big preaching or anything. These people are just going down into the river. And that beautiful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is being shown to them. But here's Delmar. It happens to be my middle name. My daddy's first name. He's drawn by that. See the look on his face? He's obviously been touched. But when he gets down there, he's thinking it's the physical act and that the preacher did it. The preacher absolved him of his sin. And it was that act. Now that part, that shows how we get it mixed up as humans. Because see, baptism. We're going to have a baptism today. And we're going to be out on the beach and we're going to be showing the living hope. We're going to be showing the hope that was the hope of Silvanus, of Simon Peter, of John Mark, of the Apostle Paul. We're going to be showing that hope, that we're in the line of that real hope that took place back then. It's going to be shown today. And that hope says that if you invite Jesus into your heart, if you do business with Him and let Him and realize you have sinned and that you need a Savior and that you turn to Jesus, that is the act of repentance. It's not feeling sorry about it. Like you got caught until you get caught the next time. No. It's turning from it. And you turn from your life of sin to Jesus. And your life changes when He comes in. And the baptism, in our tradition here, and I realize people celebrate baptism in a lot of different ways, and we honor all of those. Thank the Lord how He speaks in other traditions. But in our tradition, the way we see that is then a person is baptized to show what has already happened in their life. An outward showing of what has already happened inside. So that when a person's taken down in that water, you see the death of Jesus, you see his burial, and you see his resurrection. Why are we baptized? Today, I'll speak it again. We're baptized because Jesus told us to be baptized. That's enough. We're baptized because Jesus was baptized. We follow his example. We're baptized because we show the good news of Jesus every time we're baptized. And I'm looking forward to getting to share the gospel on the beach this afternoon, because several times we've been on that beach and we've seen people come to know Jesus, and we baptize more than we thought we were going to baptize. But finally, we baptize because of the changed life. It's what Jesus has done. For 6.5 months, we've been preaching the living hope. He is alive today, and he changes lives. And he'll change yours. He'll change anybody's life. You're not too far gone. You're not unsavable. Because Jesus can put Humpty Dumpty back together. Lord, I want to thank you today for the line of faith that we see. Lord, as we read that passage of Scripture that was written almost 2,000 years ago, and Lord, today it's just as alive as it was back then, because you are alive. And I bless you. Lord, I'm praying for anyone here who's never received Jesus in his life, her life. May this be the day when we receive you, Lord. I'm praying, God, that the power of the changed life, as you come and you baptize us in your Holy Spirit, as you immerse us in yourself, that we will live out the life we've been called to live. But you'll use us, Lord, as a family of God. I thank you, Lord. And I bless you. Lord, as we open the altar now, we ask you to come and speak and move and work. Thank you, Lord. Our life group leaders would take their places. Our pastors, people would be surrounding the building here right now. People you can come and pray with. The altar is open. Come. Look this way, if you will, before you leave today. If you haven't dropped your card in the basket today, we'd like to get that from you. Also, don't forget our collection for the orphanage in Grenada. Boxes up here. We're going to have to get another couple of boxes probably. But if you have questions about that, you can see us later. We'll be more than happy to answer those questions. I thank the Lord today for his moving in our body. I look forward to this afternoon. And by the way, some of you may want to call somebody that may have never seen a baptism before. This may be a great time for them to see this and participate. Has God spoken to you today? Put your hand up if God spoke to you today. He spoke to me about this much today. Lord bless you. Go in his grace.